Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. I am co-host Josh Munson. Next to me in a different state is Tanner Lee. It is Super Bowl week. How you doing out there, T-Dog?
Doing pretty good, J-Man. In my sports life, February started off a lot better than January ended. So got that going.
Yeah. Yeah, the last week of January was a little rough for the old T-Dog there.
Last 2 weeks, really, ever since the clock hit zero on the Bills-Broncos game in the divisional round. So
that's a good point. That was been a rough couple weeks, but
it has been.
A little bit of a bounce back yesterday into the home stretch of the Big Ten. But as I said, Super Bowl week, Super Bowl college basketball. It's a weird time of year. Especially starting next week, really, where it's college basketball and college basketball only for a stretch. For, I would say, a good month, it's about college basketball only. And then the NFL new league year starts with free agency. And
then you got baseball. And then you got
then baseball starts.
The good golf tournaments, even though I do enjoy the waste management tournament that happens this week. That's a fun one. There's big names playing in that one. But yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, I'd say, after this week, the next month is basketball's the main focus.
Yeah, and it's the dog days of February where it's just kind of a grind. I mean, you're all kind of banged up and kind of in that, as I said, home stretch heading into tournament play. And this is where teams kind of separate themselves.
Sure.
Nut up or shut up.
Yep, that's a good way to put it.
And so it makes it exciting, but also for fans, it kind of makes it stressful.
And I know we've talked about this before, but I don't remember your answer. Maybe your answer has changed since the last time I asked you. How much basketball have you watched outside of Illinois or outside the Big Ten this year?
I've watched more the past couple weeks than I had. I really haven't watched much outside of the Big Ten. But with Illinois rolling, I have tried to tune into as much Big Ten basketball as I can because it makes it a lot more fun when your team's winning to tune in. I look forward to tuning into Big Ten basketball. When they lose a game, I don't watch a single second of basketball until their next game. And I'm sure that you're the exact same way I am. So I've watched more the past probably 2 or 3 weeks than I had. But still, it's not up to where it kind of, you know, was years ago. But again, I don't really watch that much outside of the Big Ten. I'm trying to think if I watched any non-Big Ten games. I know I watched the one non-Big Ten game over the weekend, but I can't even remember. I watched a little bit of the Texas Tech Central Florida game. Central Florida won that. But other than that, I haven't really watched any.
Like, my dad and I were talking on the phone today. Like, he said this is about the least amount of basketball outside of Purdue he's watched. And I'm kind of the same way. I've watched a little Big Ten here and there. I have not watched anything outside the Big Ten. Like, wife and I were at Wings Center eating lunch on Saturday, and Duke and Virginia Tech were playing. I'm like, I can't name you more than two players on Duke's team. I'm just so out of tune. I don't understand why. It's not like I hate college basketball or anything. I don't know. It seems like college football, I can name more coaches, more players, like where the quarterbacks are right now, then I can't college basketball. I don't know why that is. I don't.
Portal.
Yeah.
I would say is probably the main reason for that. Cause like, you mean so many different players every single year are changing teams completely. I don't even know who's on the bubble right now. Of course, neither of our teams really have to worry about that.
I know Lenardi's got IU as the last team in.
Yeah, it was a huge week for Indiana. They needed both of those wins. But I haven't really outside of like the Big Ten bubble teams, which I think is probably like a IU, UCLA, USC, Ohio State probably are the bubble teams right now. I think Wisconsin's pretty firmly in. I don't really know elsewhere around college basketball. It's just kind of the way it is now. I just kind of follow my team and you know, the other good teams in the Big Ten, and I don't really worry about anyone else at this point.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that will hurt my fandom going forward if they allow people to play actual NBA games and come back to college and play. That's nonsense, man. What are we doing?
Yeah, and I don't think it'll happen. The G League, okay, that kind of makes a little bit of sense. Like,
you made a decision.
Yeah, exactly. Even in that case, you made a decision to go. It didn't work out for you. You need kind of live with that decision. The whole Charles Bediako situation at Alabama is a joke. I think Nate Oates is the slimiest of balls. Slime ball.
Didn't help them against Florida. They got waxed.
Oates was whining and whining all week about how they're able to camp in the lane 5, 6, 7 seconds. Florida goes and puts up 72 points in the paint yesterday.
Yeah, that's incredible.
All of the hand wringing and everything, everyone being mad about that. You look at the guys that have played in the G League and come back, none of them have done anything. No. They've been pretty bad. So they're probably playing at the level they should be playing at. But still, it opens a can of worms.
Sure.
And now with this whole former UCLA player whose name's escaping me.
Bailey's his last name.
Yes, that has played NBA games, and he's suing the NCAA or whatever and trying to come back. I think most coach, 99% of coaches will stay away from him anyway. Because, yeah,
probably right.
Again, the NCAA, I mean, even if a judge says he's eligible, the NCAA could say, hey, those games don't count for you. I think for the most part, coaches are pretty in lockstep with that. There's obviously a handful of coaches. Nate Oates is one. Scott Drew is another one that had a G League guy this year. Louisville's added a G League guy or two. But a majority are pretty much on the same page.
Yeah, and I guess I know some people make an argument, well, it's the difference between a G League guy or a guy that's played professionally over in Europe coming over. But
The thing about the Europeans, though, is they don't have a college league over there. So it's essentially they call it a pro league, but it's not really a pro league. It's guys their same age. It's kind of like their college league, even though it is technically a pro league. And of course, I'm pro Europe at this point.
Sure, you are.
When it comes to basketball, I don't want that to go away. Do you have birdie bogey for me?
Yes, I do. I was going to say we're about 8 minutes in and haven't even got the question up, but it is NFL related,
right,
being that it is Super Bowl week. Let me pull it up here. I got a list of the top five individuals for passing yards in Super Bowl history.
Oh boy!
So that's
in a career or
in a for their career. So all five gets you a birdie, four gets you a par.
All right. Birdie or bogey is brought to you by Girardi's Place, and once again, all day I'm telling myself, bring up the read tonight, there, Jay. Man, you got it. You bring up the read. You can say it, and then what do? I don't bring up the read.
You're the worst. But anyways, it's Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Dreddy's Place. Dreddy's Place is a small town vibes with big time flavor. Dreddy's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. And let's take a look at their Facebook page. You know, I get on you about the read or give you grief about the read, but then here I am. I should have had this looked up already, and I didn't. So, of course, my computer's spinning. All right, let's see here. I had a club on Friday there for anybody. Ooh, here.
I love a good club sandwich.
There was nothing over the weekend posted. So the latest special they had posted was that crab po' boy and the cowboy burger that we've already read about. So. But you can't go wrong with anything you get there for lunch or for breakfast. So stop on in, 701 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana. All right. Let's just go right into the Super Bowl. Super Bowl week, Super Bowl 60. Santa Clara, the first Super Bowl held in Santa Clara since Super Bowl 50. This time around, it's the Seahawks versus the Patriots Super Bowl matchup. We saw a while back, it was Super Bowl 49, in which the Seahawks should have won and went back-to-back, but they didn't because they called a pass play instead of a run to beast mode Marshawn Lynch. And Butler picked off the ball, and the rest is history. So I believe the Seahawks are 4-point favorites going into this game. Who do you like and why?
This will be the J-Man's book it prediction of the week. I like the Seahawks in this one. I think they're a more well-rounded team, better quarterback, believe it or not. I mean, Drake May had a fantastic season, don't get me wrong, but he has been bad in the three games he played in the playoffs. Sam Darnold, of course, has some turnover issues, but he's been great. Two really, really, really good defenses. Mm-hmm. Pretty good running games as well. Mm-hmm. But I like Seattle quite a bit more to win this game. I think they have a better overall defense. Obviously, they have more experience at quarterback. Better run game, in my opinion.
I like their weapons more. That's
much,
the difference for
much
me.
Better weapons. Jaxon Smith-Njigba's turned into maybe the top receiver in the NFL right now, where I don't know if New England has a guy that you would consider a true number one. I know Stephon Diggs is there. He's old, though. I wouldn't say he's a true number one anymore. He's a very unlikable guy, and I hope he doesn't win a Super Bowl. Yeah, give me the Seattle Seahawks in this one, and I think it'll be a fairly low-scoring game, something like, let's go 21-13. I think it'll be a fairly boring game. Hopefully it's much better than last year's. But J-Man's Book and Prediction Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life. Home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it!
And one guy you didn't bring up was the last time he was in the Super Bowl, he was MVP, Cooper Kupp.
That's true.
Yeah. He's been balling out lately as well. So, yeah, I like the Seahawks as well. What was your score?
21-13.
Okay, I'm going 27-17 Seahawks. So, I hope they get it done. I think they're going to bring tons of their 12th man, of the 12s, down from Seattle. I mean, heck, they did Super Bowl 48 across the country to New York when they made it. And I know that was their first one in many years. I think that was their first one since Super Bowl 40 when it was Steelers Seahawks, which was kind of a forgettable Super Bowl in Detroit. Yeah. And this one's not too far from going from Seattle down to Santa Clara. New England, it's been since 2019 for them, which is not that long, you know, for compared to a lot of franchises, but for them it is. Hopefully this is a outlier and we're not going to see this become a consistent thing of New England. It's so hard to have a dynasty anymore.
It is.
Just quarterback plays got better overall or worse overall, depending on what way you look at it, I guess. And teams are just better across the board than they used to be. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to the commercials. Looking forward to Green Day opening. Looking forward to Bad Bunny at halftime. I know he's getting a lot of slack. I think he's entertaining. That's what I want as a halftime performer. Is his music my cup of tea? Not necessarily, but he's entertaining. So,
yeah, I'll be honest. I think this is the first Super Bowl show that I could not name one of the performance or one of the songs the performer.
Well, has. I mean, he mainly speaks. He doesn't sing right too often. So.
I'm sure I've heard them because I know like a lot of the Latin baseball players have like as walk up songs. So I'm sure I've, off the top of my head, I couldn't name you a single one. But yeah, I'm excited for it because again, he's a good performer. He's an actor now too. I know him more from movies and stuff like that than I do as an actual.
Seems like a nice guy. Mm-hmm. So, I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, Green Day is my favorite band. So I think it's cool that they're opening the Super Bowl and they're Bay Area guys.
Right.
So that makes sense. The night out or the night of when Super Bowl ends, it's like, all right, March is right around the corner. New season's going to be beginning. And you start hearing rumors of free agents and all kinds of things. And the dominoes have fallen for the coaching carousel. All 10 jobs are now fulfilled. The Raiders technically can't be till the Super Bowl ends. The Raiders hiring Clint Kubiak, who's the office coordinator of the Seahawks. His father, Gary Kubiak, used to be head coach of the Houston Texans, Denver Broncos office coordinator around the NFL. So, yeah, I thought Coach Carousel was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it went like the entire month, obviously, which usually you don't see that. But I guess if teams are after a coordinator or whoever, and that's playing in the Super Bowl, kind of has to wait a little ways. But obviously you saw the big domino with Harbaugh and then Tomlin stepping down as well. So that threw a wrinkle in. Overall, I mean, We saw some guys that have had head coaching experience, like Mike McCarthy gets Steelers job, but then also a ton of coordinators once again being hired. It's so hard to say who did well or who did poorly in the coaching carousel. So I don't even want to do that. But I think the team, which we've talked about this, that had maybe the worst coaching search ever in the history of sports was the Cleveland Browns. they had so many guys turn the job down. I mean, there are reports that the Browns were having candidates write like in a college essay almost.
Right.
Do like a whole questionnaire thing. And a lot of guys didn't want to do that, obviously. And you don't want to work for a the most dysfunctional organization in the NFL. And so they hired Todd Monken, who was run out of town when he was offensive coordinator there. They ran him out of town.
Yes, they did.
They hated him so much. And now he's back as the head man. Yep. And I saw some cringy videos of him and Shadur there in the office over the weekend.
Pro Bowler Shadur. For your
Pro Bowl, Shadur Sanders. Yeah. So he does inherit a roster that had two Pro Bowl quarterbacks this year with Joe Flacco. Obviously, he went to the Bengals midseason, but to start the year with Cleveland. And Shadur.
And a former one with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. What were the Pro Bowl festivities over the weekend, or are they next? Or next?
They're still going on. The dodgeball was last night. I saw a highlight on Twitter. And I've seen some stuff just because the Broncos have some guys there. That have,
I haven't seen
doing social media for them, so they're going on this week.
Okay, I haven't seen a single thing about it. I know a lot of the media are saying they should just do.
Just call it an honor.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a joke.
Yep. But yeah, Monken. Interesting thing. At least what's been reported, and you know, whenever coaching searches happen, like you don't know exactly what reports are true, but back when Purdue hired Ryan Walters, they were real interested in Monken.
Interesting.
But he was offensive coordinator at Georgia. Georgia was in the college football playoff.
That's right.
Purdue could not wait.
Yeah.
Because that Georgia team, I think they won it all that year. So they, I mean, with the portal opening up and everything in 2022, they couldn't wait. So don't know if that would have happened or not, but you know, it's one of those. Could have, would have, could have, should have.
Yeah, I forgot Monken was the OC at Georgia. I know he was good in Baltimore. Runs the ball a lot, which of course you have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Of course he's going to do that, but it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out in Cleveland. If it's going to be another two and done, like they'd kind of been growing accustomed to, and of course Stefanski was there a little bit.
Yeah. And Daryl Love here on Facebook said, get rid of it in response to the Pro Bowl. Yeah, I'm
get rid of it.
Pro Bowl guy. It's been interesting going back to the coaching carousel. And a lot of the coaches who did get fired are getting jobs immediately as coordinators in other places.
Yeah, definitely. Which obviously, I mean, if you're a head coach in the NFL, you're a really good football coach.
Exactly.
And, of course, you saw Mike McDaniel take the LA
Unless Chargers. You're Nathaniel Hackett, but that's a story for another day.
Well, Nathaniel Hackett's now on the Dolphins staff.
Is he? I honestly was wondering where he was.
Yeah, Corey, Halfley just hired him as quarterback coach, which if you're going to have him, might as well be a position coach.
Cam Cameron. I mean, there's a couple coaches I could throw out there that were not good, but I know what you were saying. You're usually a pretty good football mind if you're a head coach in the NFL.
Yes. Yeah. Hackett was very clearly a recruiting tool to try to get Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. Nobody will ever convince me otherwise. Ever.
Yep. That's and then of course they fire him 14 games into his first season.
Right after Christmas.
I felt bad for him.
Destroyed by the Rams on national television.
Yeah, it was very, very clearly. Yeah, he was just kind of a lame duck there.
But. Yeah, he was. But like Gannon, the Cardinals coach, mm-hmm. he's now defense coordinator at the Packers, which is interesting. He'll be working for the brother of the guy who took his job.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Who else did we see? Raheem Morris, DC, and San Francisco. Shanahan loves doing that, though. He had Robert Saleh out there after he got fired from the Jets. Now Saleh's, you know, new head coach at Tennessee, which I like Tennessee's hire of Saleh and Dable.
Me too.
Now I don't know what – they don't have a lot roster-wise.
Yeah.
But you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, Bills hired Joe Brady, which I think they're for one, firing McDermott was a joke, and I think they got significantly worse with Joe Brady, and that's okay with me.
And they took two new coordinators are from the Broncos staff.
Yeah.
Jim Leonard, defensive coordinator, which he was probably going to be a defensive coordinator in Denver if Vance Joseph left, but Vance Joseph didn't get a head job, so he's back.
Yeah, speaking of Jim Leonard, he was on Bielema's staff at Illinois for a year. Fickle, I couldn't think of his name.
Yeah,
Luke Fickle decided to not retain
right
and it's clearly backfired on Fickell in Wisconsin. Yeah. And now he's a DC in the NFL.
And then the office coordinator from the that the Bills got from the Broncos, he was not a coordinator in Denver. He was just an assistant coach. His last name's Carmichael. I don't know a lot about him.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's going to be calling plays. I'm sure Brady will be calling plays there. So it'd be one of those situations.
Yep. And then Denver did hire within Davis Webb today, got the promotion to offensive coordinator, which that was another thing when you were talking about the Cleveland job. I noticed during this carousel too, a lot of coordinators are being smart now and not taking just any job, even if it's offered to them.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh God, if I go to Cleveland, struggle for 2 years, then I'm going to have to wait 10 years to get another head coaching job. I know like Jacksonville's office coordinator was in the mix for Cleveland. He pulled out. It's like, I'm going to stay in Jacksonville and maybe I'll wait next year if we do good type of thing.
Yeah.
So people are getting smarter about that.
The interesting thing with the Jacksonville guy, he was such a hot name, but he has never called plays. So that gives me some pause.
Yeah.
Same thing with Nate Shieldhouse too. He's their passing game coordinator, but he's never called plays. Yeah. I think there needs to be a natural progression up to,
I agree,
offense or defensive coordinator before you get a head job. There's been times in the past where it has worked. I mean, Mike McDaniel was, you know, running backs coach. He never called plays. It went really well the first 2 years in Miami. And then, of course, John Harbaugh was never a coordinator at all.
Teams coordinator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a very good hire
for
Baltimore. So,
yep.
But for the most part, you kind of want to see that natural progression up the ladder.
Yep. It's the NFL. News is always spinning, never stops.
Yep.
So, but this time next week, we'll know who's the world champion for at least the next year.
Yeah. And that actually leads me to my blind ranking. It is NFL Super Bowl related, obviously.
All right.
I have five random Super Bowls here, I just want you to name them in order of
like how much I enjoyed them. Or best
game,
okay,
I would say. Right. Starting with the rematch that is happening this week, the 2015 New England Patriots versus Seattle Seahawks.
I hated the game because I didn't like either team.
Yeah.
But the game was remarkable.
It was awesome.
It was really good. Came down to the end. I mean, literally on the yard line, 1 yard line. I'm having a tough time thinking of a Super Bowl that was better, so I'm putting it at one.
Yeah, I would say it's in the top two or three this century for sure. Number two here is the New York Giants against the New England Patriots in 2008.
So the first one of the two.
Yes,
the first one of the two. David Tyree. Another great one, especially with the storyline. Patriots undefeated regular season. The Giants, I think, were 12 or 13 point dogs.
Yeah, big time dogs.
Yeah. Got the win. Plaxico Burress before he shot himself, catching it in the corner of the end zone. I don't do this often, but I'm going to put this at two. I feel good, safe about those two choices, but this is scaring me a little bit.
Patriots versus the Falcons, 2017, 28-3. Oh,
yes. Yes. It was more of a choke job than anything, but there were some memorable plays. The Edelman catch, which I still don't know how he caught that ball, bouncing around. I'll put this one at four. It did go into overtime.
It did.
So that's the difference, but I'll put it at four. I don't want to keep going in order.
Yeah, Shanahan's refusal to run the ball late kind of cost them.
Sure did.
Another Shanahan one, Kansas City Chiefs versus the Niners from 2 years ago, 2024. Also overtime.
Yeah. Man, I couldn't have told you that was overtime. I don't remember that one very good.
The Niners went down, kicked the field goal. Chiefs go all the way down and score a touchdown in overtime. Mecole Hardman, I think, caught it.
Man, I don't remember that one. What the heck?
It's weird. It was a great one.
Yeah. With it being overtime, I'm putting it at three. Yeah. But I should have put that probably at four since I remember the New England and the Atlanta game better. Maybe it's just because I hate the Chiefs so much and I just blend together in my head.
It was their second in a row. They
like won. It's weird because I remember their one in 2020 over the Niners more than the one you're describing.
I don't know. Final one here, 2009 Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Arizona Cardinals.
That's number five. I hate that. God, these were all good.
They were really good Super Bowls.
Santonio Holmes in the back of the end zone. Of course, James Harrison with the 99-yard pick six before half. Also, Larry Fitzgerald. People forget about that play.
Yeah. Give
the Cardinals the lead. Kurt Warner balled out in that game. I got to put it at five, but a re-rank. I'm still, still putting Seattle, New England one. I would go actually, I put Arizona and Pittsburgh clear up at two. Number three, Atlanta and New England. Four, I'll put the Giants and Patriots. I'll put the Chiefs, Chiefs, Niners at five, even though with the overtime, just because I can't, I can't remember it in my head for some reason. I'm disappointed myself. Yeah.
That that Big Ben throw to Santonio Holmes, one of the greatest throws in the history of the
Tight window.
That was unbelievable. Right in the corner.
Yep. And Steelers have been back once since. It was 2 years later. Lost to the Packers. Cardinals haven't even been close.
Yeah. a couple times. Close. Yeah, haven't been overly close.
Yep. So, but that is the blind ranking segment. A good one by J-Man there for Super Bowl week, which is brought to you by Performer Print Suit Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print Suit Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you can look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Do you want to go into our final six bold predictions before we
let's do it.
What's your first one there?
Well, real quick before we do that, let's recap our first 20 really fast. Here's your first 20, and your first one you already got wrong of the year. You said neither one seed in NFL playoffs would win a game.
Yeah.
Here the Seahawks are. They made the Super Bowl, and the Broncos won one game.
Oh, shoot. I'm looking at it now. I have a repeat. I'm going to have to figure something out real quick.
Oh, today? What are your today? Okay, I'll give you some time. I'll go over your list.
All right. Sounds good.
You said the Big Ten will win a national championship in football and basketball.
Yeah, the repeat I have was Big Ten snaps their college basketball title drought, so that's kind of a repeat. All right.
Let's see. You said Bryson DeChambeau will win the Masters. He's definitely been in the headlines a lot lately with the live stuff going on. Aaron Rodgers will retire. That'll be interesting to see if he will now that Mike McCarthy is the new head coach of the Steelers. And you said this season will be Andy Reid's last for the Chiefs. You said the Cubs will win the NL Central this year. You said the Saints will win the NFC South. You said Congress.
I said there will be another NFL team that goes worst to first. I don't think the Saints were part of my pick.
Yes, they were.
The Saints. I'm pretty sure I said this isn't part of it.
Okay, but... I'll have to go back and listen. I will change it on the list before it's published to our social media, which you can follow at Tan and J Man Show. But I swore that was part of your pick, but I'll change it.
Honestly, might have been.
But... I'll change it if it's not. I'll go back and listen. Congress will create guidelines for the NIL. Mm-hmm. Tony Romo will get demoted to another CBS crew.
Hopefully. I don't think it's going to happen.
At least half of the Final Four will be from the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. The LA Dodgers will three-peat as World Series champions. Shohei Ohtani will not win the NL. The Steelers hire Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers returns.
So pretty close.
You went back and forth. You said Rodgers retires in one prediction.
Yeah, I know.
And now he's returning. I love that. I just caught up with that. And that can still happen. Rodgers returns. Okay. You get that whole thing right. The Seahawks will win Super Bowl 60. We'll find out on Sunday. Nebraska will not win a game in the NCAA tournament. They're the capital of college basketball.
I hate them all of a sudden after playing them yesterday. Their fans are the worst. They've been watching basketball for 4 months, and it's just terrible.
The St. Louis Cardinals will finish last.
Feel even better today after they traded their stud second baseman, Brendan Donovan, to the Mariners.
Kind of hard to figure out what they're doing.
But I don't know.
Just tear to tear down, I guess. The Toronto Blue Jays will miss the playoffs. A team in the NFL will go from first to worst in their division. And you said the Bears, but you said that's not part of your prediction.
Yep.
Fernando Mendoza will not be the number one overall NFL draft pick.
That's going to be wrong. But
Tua and Tyreek Hill will be cut before the new league year starts in March. Mm-hmm. And my first 20 so far, the NBA will announce the return of the Seattle Supersonics. Bryson DeChambeau will re-sign with Liv. I'm becoming less and less confident in that every day, especially today. He's like, because he has contract through this year. Then he's technically a free agent. He even said today, he's like, going to 72 holes. This is not what I signed up for. So Tom Izzo will retire after the season.
I hope so.
An MLB team will go from worst to first in their division. That's a far stretch, but bold. Brayden Smith will break Bobby Hurley's NCAA all-time assist record. Probably not going to happen, but it could. The Chicago Cubs will win the National League.
That's bold. Yeah.
The Denver Broncos will repeat as AFC West champs. LSU will not make the college football playoff. Alabama will fire Kalen DeBoer. Tiger Woods will win a tournament on the Champions Tour. Purdue and Purdue Fort Wayne will both make the NCAA tournament. 2026 will be Kurt Ferentz's last season at Iowa.
I like that one.
Virginia Tech will make the college football playoff. The Detroit Pistons will win the NBA Finals. Ricky Fowler will win a tournament. Neither Notre Dame or Indiana will make the college football playoff. Thad Mata will retire after the season. Feeling real good about that after their loss over the weekend to Georgetown. Danny Hurley will leave UConn for the NBA. Scottie Scheffler will not win a major. And the Buffalo Bills will miss the playoffs. I think
you might have should. Yeah.
Oh, there you are. I think one of us is having a connection issue. J-Man is frozen on my end. I could be frozen on everybody else's end. I'm not sure.
Welcome.
Can somebody that's watching let us know in the comments who's frozen or who's lagging? All right. Thank you, Daryl. Just Jamin. Okay. Okay. I thought so, but sometimes on my end, I can hear myself talking and everything. And okay. Everybody's weighing in here. It's Josh. Okay. Josh will be joining us again momentarily here. So I will start off with my first of our six of our last 26 bowl predictions for 2026. And my first one tonight, the Indiana Pacers will get the number one overall draft pick in the NBA draft, and it looks like J-Man is back.
I think that was my fault.
That's what everybody was saying in the comments, so on Facebook. So I just went over my first one, but if you didn't hear it, I said the Indiana Pacers will get the number one overall pick in the NBA draft.
All right.
I don't think they're going to have the worst record in the league, but they'll be one of the worst 10 teams, and, you know, he got a chance. So, yeah.
My first one here, two or less Big Ten basketball coaches will get fired.
I think that's pretty safe.
Yeah. I think, trying to think who could get fired. Dana Altman might not get fired, but I think he'll retire. It's been rough there. He's in his mid to late 60s.
Cronin should leave because he whines all the time.
Yeah. About. I can't stand him. Who else we got? Jake Diebler, I guess, could get fired, maybe.
Could Collins get fired?
I think you give that son of a gun a lifetime contract for what he's done, honestly.
That's fair.
Pikel's probably gone, I'd imagine. Although, yeah. I think they're going to do a lot worse than him there.
Yeah,
Mike Rhodes, maybe.
Rutgers is going to be the basement dweller of Big Ten basketball soon.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah, they had a nice little solid run, but yeah.
I think Rhodes is doing fine at Penn State.
They stink this year.
They do, but that's tough. That might be the toughest job in the Big Ten.
I agree with you. I think it 100%.
Even though I think Micah Shrewsbury, if he could go back in time, would stay there and not go to Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, he had a pretty good thing going, but I think, with the portal, I don't know if they could have in NIL, I don't know if they could have afforded
it. Yeah.
And it's not going well for him in Notre Dame at all. I think he'll probably be back on Purdue's staff here in a couple years.
Purdue's or Butler's or Celtics.
Yeah.
Celtics, he was just there because Stevens was the head coach. So,
yeah.
My second one tonight, even though I did say last week that they wouldn't make the college football playoff, I think CJ Carr, quarterback of Notre Dame, will win the Heisman Trophy.
Interesting. I like that one. The one I actually just changed to this one once I realized I had a repeat. And why my computer froze? Because I was looking up this guy's stats in conference play on College Basketball Reference, and that's what froze on me. But Keaton Wagler will become the first freshman to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
I like that guy.
I know you don't. He's a very likable guy, though. But in conference play, 22 points a game, 4 rebounds, almost 6 assists, turn it over less than 2 times. He's shooting 47% from 3. He's the first player in at least 25 years to score 25 or more points on the road against top 5 opponents in back-to-back weeks. And he does it without, feels like even breaking a sweat. He doesn't smile. He doesn't get mad. He's just kind of even keel, which is what you like. Very poised.
He is the thumbnail graphic of tonight's episode. So there you go. The Big Ten's national championship streak in football will continue. It'll extend to 4 years.
Interesting. Purdue?
Hey, if Indiana could do it. No.
Yeah.
No. And this is a spoiler. I did not put any Purdue football in my predictions. I almost did today, but I'm like, I already said I wasn't going to.
Yeah.
Not breaking my promise, but no, Ohio State's going to be up there. Oregon will be good again. Indiana will be good again.
Yeah.
That's probably your top. USC should be good.
As far as title contenders.
Yeah, USC should be good, but.
Arizona basketball will get through the regular season undefeated.
Wow. That's
bold. It is bold because they still have at Kansas, at Houston. They still host Texas Tech, BYU, and Kansas. So that's what makes it so bold. I almost said Miami of Ohio, but I think that's a little easier than what Arizona has to do. Because it's an absolute gone. And Arizona has to go to, they're not very good, but to Baylor, which is not going to be easy. They do host Oklahoma State, but they'll probably go like 4-3 or something, or 3-4 in those games.
You know what I like to do every year in these is do an Indy 500
goal
prediction. So Alex Pillow will repeat as Indy 500 champ.
There you go. My fourth college basketball one here to start today. We will see a 6 seed or worse make the Final Four.
6 seed or worse make the Final Four.
I think very bold because I think college basketball is very, very top heavy this year.
And I think the trend of not seeing a lot of upsets in tournaments can continue because the portal's ruining it.
Yep. I agree.
It's too bad. Here's a variable one, and I got to give props to my dad on this one. He gave me this one. Someone in the MLB will their batting average will be over 350.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I typed it wrong, so that's why.
I don't know if we'll ever see that again.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we have. Yeah. So, that's a very bold one. But
The New England Patriots will miss the playoffs next year.
I hope you're right.
Next season, I should say. Of course, we might not know by the end of the year. Could know, but we might not know.
Yeah, some of these we don't know. That's okay.
Right. But Patriots obviously had a very, very, very easy schedule this year. And then they got to face, terrible C.J. Stroud and then Jared Stidham in the
playoffs. And they faced Herbert, too.
And they faced a Herbert guy who was hurt.
And can't win in the playoffs. Fault, but we do have to start talking about it. He's 0-1.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, and then they got to face Jared Stidham, which is just going to haunt me for a while.
Yeah.
My last one, there will be a first-time national champion in college basketball this year.
I like it. Illinois.
Could be Illinois. Okay. Could be Purdue. Could be Houston.
When I had, Big Ten finally breaks their title drought, I was thinking I think there's 3 legitimate teams in the Big Ten that are national title contenders, and that is Michigan, Purdue, and Illinois. I don't believe in Nebraska as a national title contender at all.
I don't either.
I don't believe in Michigan State. I don't think they have the offense. Their defense is championship caliber. They don't score enough for me. But those 3 teams, Michigan, Purdue, I know Purdue had their rough stretch, but if you're going to have a rough one, get it out of the way in January.
Yeah.
Maybe they found something yesterday, especially maybe Fletcher Lawyer found something because he had not been very good.
No.
He had 7 threes yesterday.
Yeah. So maybe tied second most in Purdue history for a Big Ten road game. Mm-hmm. He tied DJ Bird, who had 7 at Ohio State 1 year in a losing effort. Carson Edwards had 8 at Penn State in 2019, which Carson Edwards' career for 3 years is insane. The stats he put up.
Pretty good.
Ridiculous. Yeah, pretty good.
My final one here is the Big Ten wins back-to-back Heismans. I mean, they didn't have a Heisman Trophy winner since Troy Smith, and then they won it this year. I think they go back-to-back. It'll probably be Saiyan is what I would have to
put money on. I was thinking Smith, but if Smith puts a big number, Saiyan's the one throwing him the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for you – know? And, I mean, Saiyan can spread it around to his other stud receivers, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Smith might not tight have, you know, the numbers.
Backs and everything. I mean
– yeah, exactly.
Abundance of riches when it comes to weapons at Ohio State. So.
Definitely.
And, you know, I really don't – I mean, as a Purdue fan, I hope my bold prediction of Notre Dame and IU not making the playoffs happens. But looking at both their schedules, I have a tough time not seeing both of them at worst going 10-2.
Yeah, Notre Dame's schedule's a joke. I think IU, their schedule's – it's more difficult than Notre Dame's.
It is, but still, man, it's – they still – their toughest game is a home game against Ohio State, Indiana.
Yeah.
They go to Michigan. They go, I think, to Nebraska. I don't know what to expect out of Nebraska or Michigan. Yeah. But they're going to start 5-0 without even waking up out of their sleep. So
exactly.
You know, so we'll see. Because that's one thing that did come out. We won't hit on it tonight, but that's one thing that came out last Tuesday was the Big Ten football schedules for everybody.
Yeah.
Came out Tuesday definitely. As far as dates and in order and everything. So,
yep.
But we will see how these 26 bold predictions for 2026 age. Probably not well.
Not very good.
That's why they're fun to do. And that's why we call them bold. So.
And I'm very glad they're over.
Today was the worst part for me. Yeah. I was struggling.
Once we hit about number 15, I'm starting to scrape the bottom of the barrel trying to figure out some. But we get through.
Yeah. Yeah. Today was. Tough one. So next year will be 27. So
yay! I'm glad we got 11 months to.
You want to? Me too. You want to get educated?
Always.
And learn about some sport events that have happened on Groundhog's Day, February 2nd. Having mentioned that stinking groundhog saw shadow. Six more weeks.
The crazy, the 6 more weeks of winter. Living in the Midwest, really, like March 18th, winter's over. Heck yeah, sign us up.
I mean, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. May even sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
Very early. Yeah. So well, and like Phil, the one that's been the famous groundhog, he saw a shadow, but I guess there's another one now. It's somewhere else. I forget the groundhog's name. He didn't. I'm like, okay, what are we doing here? Like,
I don't really understand the point.
I don't know.
I don't even know if I've ever seen the movie. I know what the movie's about, but I don't know if I've ever
Bill Murray.
Yeah.
On this day, 1943, MLB Chicago Cubs returned to their original uniforms after experimenting with a vest-style uniform.
Interesting. Never knew that. Speaking of uniforms, did you see Kansas State uniforms yesterday?
I did not.
Basketball uniforms, they are the ugliest. I think they're purple on top, like light purple on top, dark purple on bottoms. They were ugly.
No consistency with the colors?
It looked like something they picked up at Goodwill, like right before the game, because they ran out of stuff. Like it was bad.
Well, I will when we switch after this college basketball. I'm gonna have to Google it, see if I can find it, bring it up on the screen for everybody to see.
They're ugly.
On this day, 1959, Packers made a good hire, signing Vince Lombardi to a 5-year contract.
That worked out pretty well for him.
Yes, it did.
Do
you have a trophy named after you? Mm. You did something right. On this day, 1970, LSU, Louisiana State Universities, at the time, I should say, instead of LSU, Pete Maravich became the first to score 3,000 college basketball points in his career.
Freshmen couldn't even play on varsity back then, and he didn't have the three-point line. And if he did, I literally saw today, if they did have the three-point line back then, he would average 47 points a game and score over like 4,500 career points. It's insane.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Let's see here. On this day, 1986, the Pro Bowl, when it was actually decent, was played in Aloha Stadium in Honolulu, Hawaii. The NFC beat the AFC 28-24. Can you name the MVP? 86.
86? I'm going to go.
Quarterback. I'll give you his
quarterback. All right. 86. I'm going to go Joe Montana.
Always good guess, but it was Phil Simms.
Yeah.
On this day, 1992. The NFC beat the AFC 21-15. Who was the MVP?
NFC 21-15. That's a low scoring Pro Bowl. NFC quarterback.
Wide receiver.
I just assumed quarterback. NFC wide receiver in 92. I'm going to go with Jerry Rice.
Michael Irvin. On day 97, the AFC beat the NFC 26-23 in overtime. This was a quarterback in 97.
97 AFC quarterback?
Yes.
AFC quarterback in 97. I'm going to go with... I'm trying to think who was in the league in 97 in the AFC. John Elway.
Good guess. Mark Brunell.
Lefty.
On this day in 2003... AFC beat the NFC 45-23.
There it is.
Who won the MVP?
AFC, what position?
Running back.
AFC running back 2003, Edgerrin James.
Ricky Williams. Come on, man of the Dolphins.
I know.
Expect you to know that.
You think I was watching? I probably was watching the Pro Bowl.
You probably were. Played NFL Street and watching the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, deaf man. Oh, the nostalgia, man.
You were ranked in the world.
Gonna nuke me some hot dogs, eat some Cheetos. Heck yeah. Drink some Code Red Mountain Dew. Sign me up. Take me back.
Take you back. On this day 2014, I hated this game. Super Bowl 48, MetLife Stadium, saw the Seahawks beat the Broncos 42-8, and it wasn't even that close.
Yeah.
Who's MVP of that Super Bowl?
42-8. Was it Percy Harvin?
Malcolm Smith.
Was Percy Harvin the one that ran the kickoff back?
To start second half, yep.
Yeah.
And on this day in 2020 in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs beat the 49ers 31-20. Mahomes was MVP. It was the Chiefs' first Super Bowl victory in 50 years.
Yeah, good for them.
They've had plenty since.
Yeah.
But that will do it for the On This Day segment this week, which is brought to you by Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749. See how they can help you with your digital marketing. College hoops talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your Illini sitting pretty right now, the Big Ten race.
Yeah, 10-1 in Big Ten play. They've won 11 games in a row, 19-3 overall, up to number 5 in the country. Coming into the year, I was thinking, all right, they should be pretty dang good. I was thinking maybe they'd get a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. Now, I think everyone has their eyes set on a 1 seed at this point. And they're playing such good basketball, and they're doing it without Kylan Boswell. As well, and it'll be interesting to see what Brad does once Boswell's back, which he should be back here in a couple weeks. I think right now you kind of have to roll with the lineup you have, and I would have Boswell coming off the bench lead that second unit because they're only going 2 guys deep on that bench right now, and it's Ben Humrickhouse and Big Z of Isak. So they need some depth. But no, Keaton Wagler, as I was talking about, he has been unbelievable. Especially, he's been great all year, but since Boswell went out, he's been unbelievable. I mean, he had 22. He followed up his 46-point performance with a 22-point, 5-rebound, 8-assist game and only 1 turnover against Washington. And then yesterday, he scored 5 points in the first half on 2 of 9 shooting. He ends up with 28 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, only 2 turnovers. The team, though, they kind of got punked there at the end of the first half at Nebraska. Crowds rocking, arguably the loudest venue they played in all year. That was arguably the biggest game in the history of Pinnacle Bank Arena, is what the Nebraska fans were calling it beforehand. Afterwards, they're like, I can't believe you guys are celebrating against a team that's never won an NCAA tournament game. You guys are losers. Yeah, that's what part of the crap. I hate them now. Anyway, got punked in the mouth. Nebraska goes on a 10-0 run in the half. They're up 6. Illinois just fought back and ends up really pulling away. The biggest play of the game was Jake Davis, of all people, had a big old block I don't know, it was a 53-52 game with about 10 minutes left. Illinois comes down. I don't know if you saw the pass at all that Tommy Avisa
made. I didn't see any of the game. So.
I'm surprised you haven't seen it throughout Twitter because it's been kind of all over.
I got Illinois Twitter. Basketball muted. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I really don't.
I would too. But – David Mirkovich passes it to Tommy Avisic. Avisic's backs to Jake Davis. He taps the ball because it was going to be a turnover if he didn't just smack it. He smacked it without looking right to Jake Davis for a three to make it a four-point game, and Illinois just kind of went on a roll after that. Hi, baby. I miss you. I'll see you in a few minutes.
And for everybody listening, Josh is talking to his daughter through
Facebook. Yes. Yeah, sorry. I guess we are still on Spotify and places like that. We're not just on streaming. Yes. But good week for them. Obviously, another big week this week where they have they host Northwestern on Wednesday and then travel to Michigan State in a top 10 matchup in East Lansing on Saturday. So feel pretty good about where
I think they're gonna win the national championship. So that's where I'm at. So speaking into existence.
It's getting to the point where I'm like, all right, it's Final Four bust. And that's scary. I hate that feeling because really the last time I did that they get put out in the round of 32. So I'm trying to
go on a 3-game losing streak and the world's melting down. So
yeah, and still be 18-4.
And rank 12.
And rank 12. Fans are stupid.
Yeah, they are.
I saw one fan on Twitter yesterday at halftime. You know, Illinois is down 39-33. They've won 10 games in a row. They're at number 5 team in the country. One of the comments was, Brad Underwood's the worst coach in America. And you should have seen the comments that followed. It was
a Northwestern troll or something, right?
It has to be. It was this old lady named Sue.
And of course it was.
Illinois fans were not nice to her. let's just say that. But that's the kind of crap. You play a bad half and you're the worst coach in America sort of stuff.
So before we go on, I found the Kansas State uniforms, and I got to share for everybody watching here on IC Sports Network or our YouTube channel, because this is one of the worst uniform combinations I've ever seen.
Did I describe them correctly? Because I can't really remember.
Yeah.
I did. Light purple and dark purple. Ugly. Look like practice uniforms.
I mean, you know, I played on intramural teams in college. I just had T-shirts with font on them, and it's better looking than that.
Yeah. Kansas State fans want their coach fired. And I saw one message board comment today said Kansas State, Brad Underwood is Kansas State's guy this offseason. He will be taking the Kansas State job. So
yeah, we'll see.
he has a non-compete in his contract with every other college basketball program. He literally cannot leave.
Oh, wow. Did not know that.
So, and why is he going to leave a team he's turned into like a Big Ten power over the past? I mean, they're winning his team in Big Ten play over the past 6 years to take a middling, at best, Big 12 job just because he graduated from there 40 years ago. So,
true.
I just think it's funny.
Yep. But, we already mentioned it earlier. I mean, Purdue looked good against Maryland yesterday, shot the ball well, won by 30 points, did what they should have done because Maryland's terrible. But it's still a life on the road. You still never know.
Maryland's
a physical team. They play a physical style, which that's Buzz Williams. That's what he does.
And one guy when I mentioned about two or less head coaches getting fired that I didn't mention was Buzz Williams. He might be a one and done. They hate him there already.
I think he gets at least one more year.
You'd think, but they hate him.
You don't want to create that culture of giving a coach 1 year, but they needed it. It was frustrating start of the week. You know, last Monday we're sitting here, you're like, it can't get any worse for you. I'm like, do you realize who Purdue plays tomorrow? But Purdue lost in that game at Indiana last Tuesday, and their effort was absolutely terrible, especially in the first half, to which the players, and I only know this because Braden Smith on his podcast, that he does with Sleepers Media, and he hadn't done one in 2 weeks, but came out with an episode Friday morning. It dropped after the 3-game losing streak, and he even said on that podcast they had a players-only meeting, and pretty much it got called out, the effort and different things, and they responded real well on Sunday from that. So I'm glad to see the senior leadership step up and do something, because I don't know if I've ever seen Matt Painter as frustrated after a game as I saw on Tuesday.
I'll be honest with you. I think TKR was the issue. I think he was the guy that had not been playing very hard just from watching him. He had a good game against Indiana, but he took a shot with about 2 minutes left.
His shot put was terrible
from the 3-point line. Yeah, pretty much.
The elbow.
That was ugly. But
actually, after the game, I thought he and Braden Smith were the only two playing hard. I didn't think anybody else played hard that night. I thought the three freshmen looked like deer in headlights in the first half. Mm. And they've never played an environment like that. They played at Alabama. Alabama's not Indiana. When Purdue's in there. They played in Wisconsin, but Wisconsin didn't have students. Once again, Wisconsin's not Indiana when Purdue comes to town. So, in credit to IU, good week for them winning against Purdue and then turn around, win double overtime at UCLA.
I would argue their win at UCLA was bigger for them than winning at home against Purdue, just because it's a road quad one game. They hadn't had really a quad one win all year, had they, coming into the week?
No.
And of course, a big one against Purdue, but then to go on the road in the West Coast and find a way to get it done after they blew, you know, a 10-point lead with 2 minutes left or whatever it was, to still find a way to win was really big for them.
Now they have three games this week. At USC, and then at home against Wisconsin, at home against Oregon. Oregon's next week. I'm dumb because Oregon plays Purdue Saturday. They play Oregon on Monday. Oregon plays Saturday and Monday.
That's three games in 6 days or whatever for them, though. Yeah, pretty much is a week.
Real quick, you want to go through the Big Ten games and predict? Okay.
Yeah. We didn't do this last week.
No. Tomorrow night, Rutgers at UCLA is a 13.5-point favorite.
UCLA. Rutgers about won at USC, though. They've had a chance to tie it late.
I got the Bruins as well. Indiana at USC, who's a 1.5-point favorite. 10 o'clock tip for the Hoosier fans tomorrow night.
Give me USC in that one. I think it'd be tough to win both of them on the West Coast.
Yeah, I think your goal, of course you want to win both, but your goal is at least split every time. I'm taking USC in a close one. Michigan State at Minnesota Wednesday night.
Minnesota, right when I think, hey, they might end up being pretty good, they fall flat and lose to a bad Penn State team yesterday. After blowing, what were they up, 19 at Wisconsin last week as well, ended up losing an overtime.
They just don't know how to win.
Give me Michigan State.
Yep. Michigan State bounces back after losing to Michigan. Northwestern at Illinois, 9 o'clock Wednesday night.
Illinois
fairly easily at home. 11 o'clock tip, Iowa at Washington.
Give me Washington. Washington's talented. They blew out Northwestern. They hung in there all game. Illinois just couldn't put them away last week. Iowa's a team that's kind of flying under the radar, though, but give me Washington.
I'm taking Iowa in that one. Thursday night, Penn State at Michigan.
Michigan large.
Ohio State at Maryland.
Ohio State cannot afford it. Give me Ohio State, but if they lose this one, I think they're done.
I agree. I'm right there with you. Saturday, we got a slew full of five games. Nebraska at Rutgers at noon.
Give me Nebraska.
Taking Nebraska as well. Wisconsin at Indiana at noon.
Huge one. Give me Indiana at home.
Indiana in a tight one, I think. Mm-hmm. Oregon at Purdue at 1 o'clock.
Purdue large.
Yeah, I like that Purdue had a rest this week and following up Maryland. They play Oregon home before the schedule really cranks up yet again for them. Game of the week for the Big Ten, number 5 Illinois at number 10 Michigan State. Is this game day? Do you know?
No.
They won't go to Big Ten schools.
No, they're going somewhere they've been. Is it Duke Carolina this week? I don't remember. It might be Kansas. It's somewhere they've been a bunch.
Let me see.
Give me Illinois though. I have a hard time picking against them right now. For obviously.
Yes, Duke Carolina.
That's what I thought. So it's somewhere they've been a million times.
I'm taking Michigan State at home. That's a tough environment.
It is, and Illinois has not fared. I think Underwood's only won there once.
You better hope they beat Minnesota, which they will, I think, but you don't want them ticked off losing two in a row.
Two games in a row, yeah.
Washington at UCLA for the nightcap Saturday night.
I don't care, UCLA. I was excited to watch Big Ten basketball the other night, and then the first game was Iowa-USC, and I'm like, just a Pac-12 opponent in there just kind of turns me off a little bit.
Then we got four games before the Super Bowl on Sunday, USC at Penn State.
USC.
I'll take a Penn State just because the travel across the country.
Yeah, I could see them winning that.
Michigan at Ohio State.
Michigan.
I got Michigan as well. Maryland at Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Minnesota as well. And Northwestern at Iowa.
Iowa.
And we'll go ahead since, well, this game happens next week, but we'll be done with the podcast. 8:30 next Monday night, Oregon at Indiana.
Indiana.
I think Indiana was that one as well. So, birdie or bogey trivia. I got a list of the top five leaders in Super Bowl history in passing yards. You need 4 for a par, 5 for a birdie.
Tom Brady.
He is number one with 3,039.
Yep. Joe Montana.
He is number four, 1,142.
Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is number two with 1,328.
Jim Kelly.
Great guess. Shoot. Jim Kelly's not in top five.
So I have one more chance for a par. Huh?
Yep.
I have Montana, Brady, Mahomes. Peyton.
Another good guess because he played four of them, but not Peyton.
Shoot.
Number three, the third place guy, Kurt Warner.
Really?
1,156. He only played in, what, three of them?
Interesting.
Two with the Rams and one with the Cardinals.
Greatest show on turf, though.
And then fifth, this guy played in five of them, John Elway. 1,128.
Oh, Elway should have been a guess. You idiot. I should have known that one. That was a heck of a question, though.
Because the NFL the other day when they posted said, Sam Darnold and Drake May can make history by throwing for 3,040 yards apiece in Super Bowl 60.
Good question. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at it with another episode next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody.